I don't know about you, but sometimes I get in church, and Brother Scott, I get a little bit emotional because I think of everything that Jesus has done for me. And I concur with the psalmist when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it's a joy to be with the Liberty Baptist Church this morning. And I thank God for you. Thank you for the encouragement that you are to myself and my family. It is a privilege and an honor to minister with you in this place. It's a privilege to be under the leadership of Pastor Ryan Thompson, and I love him dearly. I thank God for his vision and for his tenacity in ministry, and it's a joy to be in his stead today. It's a joy to minister with Brother McMaines and Brother Scott, Brother DJ, Brother Ryan, those men on staff and people in the school. I love them and thank God for them. Good to see Brother Keller here this morning. What a joy it is to see you, Brother Bob. You know, we went to hospital to visit him, and he said, you know, one of the things that hurt me the most is that I can't do my ministry. He said, I want to get back and do my ministry. And I'd forgotten those words, Brother Bob. I hadn't forgotten them. And it's a joy to see you. Thank you for encouraging me in the ministry. And that's a joy to see here this morning. Please take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter number 16, please. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts, chapter number 16. Let's look at verses 23 through 26. Acts 16, verses 23 through 26. If you'd like to stand with me, give you a chance to stretch, to stand very quickly and give some time to stretch. Amen. Acts 16, verses 23 through 26. Let's read responsively. I'll read verse 23, and you please read verse 24, and then we'll come together on 26, okay? The Bible says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, ready, begin. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let's read verse 26 together. Ready, begin. Man, I love this portion of scripture. You see, these men were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is that they were condemned unlawfully. They were thrown into prison for not committing a crime, but simply because they took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we suffer. Sometimes we go through turmoil. Sometimes we go through tribulation. And I'll tell you, Brother Todd, sometimes, Brother Ryan, it's not your fault. Simply the circumstances of life have hit you hard sometimes. Simply it's just what the coach used to tell me when I said it's not fair to run those sprints because somebody messed up on the drill. He said, well, deal with it. Life isn't fair. This morning, I think that some of you are in the prison. Not literally, obviously. Some people are discouraged this morning. Some people are going through something that's hard. I want to encourage you what the Lord gave me about 3 weeks ago. It's nothing that's deep. It's nothing that's going to catch you off guard. You probably already know these thoughts, but the Lord spoke to me several weeks ago. And I want to just talk to you this morning about prison procedures. Prison procedures. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I'm grateful for the privilege you give me to preach the Word of God. Lord, I know that you can do whatever you'd like to do this morning. Lord, I would ask you that you would please help me to be just a voice this morning of one crying in the wilderness. Help me, Lord, to make your paths straight. May I be used of God this morning. Only you can do this. Take a sinful man to preach a sinless God and a pure book as the scriptures. Please, God, I ask that this morning, God, if anybody, Lord, finds himself in their prison, situations, God, that we can simply not control, I ask, Lord, that you would please speak to their hearts this morning. If there's somebody here, God, that has not yet received you as their personal Savior, God, would you bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit to their hearts and help them to trust you today? It's a joy, God, to know you. I'm thankful that there is a remedy. Thank you, God, for every situation, for every need, for every trial and want. Thank you, Father. Receive glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We find here that at the end of Acts 15, that Paul and Barnabas split ways. And the Bible says that the contention was so sharp, they decided to split ways. Barnabas wanted to take his nephew, John Mark, and Paul wanted to take Silas. And so they split off, and now it's Paul and Silas, no longer Paul and Barnabas. They find themselves here with their group. They got these men with them. They got Dr. Luke. I believe he's writing to us here. And they got Timothy. They stopped off and picked up Timothy. And now they're on their second missionary journey. They are doing the work of God. God is using them. These are in the days of hustle and bustle. The church has exploded, and people are being saved. And God is adding to the church daily such as should he wants to add. And the Bible says that now Paul has a desire to go into Asia. But when he starts to go into Asia with these group of men, something happens. The Spirit would not forbid them to go into Asia. Paul was so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit that he would not want to go against the leading of God, even when it comes to soul winning or planting churches. You say, but he was going to do something good. Yeah, he was, but even the Spirit would forbid him at this point. And so he said, fellas, I'm not willing to go because I don't want to go against the Spirit of God. And so they made their way towards Asia Minor, towards Bithynia. You'll read it there in the book of Acts, and I'll tell you this just for sake of time. And while he's on his way to Bithynia, the Spirit once again halted them. He said, I don't want you to go to Bithynia. It's not time yet for you to go to Bithynia. In my time, you'll have the opportunity to go down there and establish churches, but it's just not time yet. Why did all this happen? Well, one night, the Bible says that Paul has a vision. We know it as the Macedonian call. And that night, a man appeared unto Paul, Brother Smith, and the words that the man said is, come on over to Macedonia and help us. And what a tremendous plea from this man. Now, Paul, he notices the urgency and probably has figured out that the reason he was not led to by the Spirit to go to Asia or to Asia Minor is because he needed to make his way to Greece, to Macedonia, particularly a city called Philippi. And he takes these men and they go to Philippi. They set up shop and they accommodate themselves. And the Bible says on the Sabbath, they went down to the river city walk there in Philippi. And while they were down there in Philippi, they find that these women are there, and I'm not sure if they were working. They may have been washing clothes or doing a particular job. I'm not sure. But while they were there, I believe Paul begins to teach them the word of God. And a woman hears this, and she begins to worship God. And you know her name is Lydia, right? You sang this morning, right, Lydia? And so Lydia, not her, okay, but Lydia in the Bible, right? But Lydia, she opens her heart to the Lord. And what that means is that she got saved. And immediately her and her family trusted Christ and they were baptized. And then, because the Bible says she's from Thyatira and she's a seller of purple, well, that seller of purple means she probably manufactures fabric. And so she's a wealthy woman, I believe. And she has a means to accommodate Paul and his group of men. And so she gives them a designated room in her house, and they're going about their business, having a great time. The next day, they're going about preaching the kingdom of God in the city of Philippi. And the Bible says that a damsel, or a woman, young lady, possessed with the spirit of divination. She was a demon possessed. She's following Paul and Silas and Dr. Luke and Timothy. She's following around and she's yelling out, "These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God." And the Bible says that she did that for a certain number of days. I don't know if it was a week, 2 weeks, but Paul had up to here, he says, "Listen, this is a spirit of divination, and certainly I don't want to bring confusion to the people in Philippi for them to think that Satan and God are on the same level." And can I just tell you, that is always the strategy of Satan, to bring confusion to people. He'll mix in a little bit of truth with a lie. He doesn't mind that, so as long as people end up confused. You see, here in this passage, this damsel screaming out, and Paul cast the demon out of her. And when Paul cast the demon out of her, it begins, number one, the formation of persecution. The formation of persecution. And I'll tell you why Paul cast the demon out of her, because he didn't want confusion. And what happened to the magistrates? You can read it there. I'm just giving you the story, okay? You can find it in the scriptures. The magistrates, or the men in charge, Brother Zach, they get a little bit angry. You know why they got angry? Because the damsel with the spirit of divination, she was a palm reader. She was a fortune teller. Oh, nothing's changed, right? People want to know their future. "Hey, tell me my future. Talk to me about this." And the men that were in charge of this fortune telling business got word that, "Hey, Paul just cast a demon out of this damsel." Oh, what does that mean for them? That means that money would decrease. That means that that pocketbook would go down. And isn't it true, my brothers, that the love of money is still the what? The root of all what? Yeah, it is the root of all evil. And these men get upset, and they begin to grab Paul and Silas, and they begin to drag them through the town, and they brought them before the courthouses and in the marketplace where people would buy substance. And there they began to scourge them. There they began to beat them and beat them and beat them with many stripes. And the people would look at them, and they were beaten unlawfully. They were beaten because they cast the demon out. And the men weren't even upset about that. They were upset because they were lose their money. And can I just parenthetically say right here that that's why we must continue to preach against alcoholism. Yes, my friend. That's why the pulpits in America have to keep preaching against pornography. We must keep preaching against drugs. We must keep preaching. And God help Brother Cordova here in California as we have legalized marijuana. Can I just tell you, all those things are straight out of hell. And we must keep preaching against the evils of our day. Some people don't like it. Why? Because it affects their pocketbook. Oh, yes. It affects their pocketbook. Stop preaching that stuff, preacher. Don't talk about what God doesn't like. The Bible tells us that is, we ought to obey God rather than man. So by God's grace, we'll keep preaching these things here at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen? And we'll take a stand for the gospel's sake. Now we see that the Bible says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus, what does the Bible say? Shall suffer what? We shall suffer persecution. Have we gotten used to the commodities in America? Have we gotten used to the relaxed Christian lifestyle of the American? I don't know about you, but I've been convicted about this as I read this a couple weeks ago. I've gotten so used to being comfortable here. I've gotten so used to being acclimated to this world. I've gotten so used to the culture, always being in pressure about my mind and family, and allowing the society to tell me what a successful man should be, instead of letting the Bible govern my success and letting the Bible teach me the way that that God would want me to comport myself in. Sometimes if we're not careful, Brother Tom, underneath this system, underneath this prince of the power of the air, we can be so bogged down and drowned out by all of society, by all of the media, by all of perhaps some friends and worldly influences. And I just want to tell you, Church of the Living God, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, we shall suffer persecution, friend. There's coming a day, I'm telling you, mark it down, there will come a day where it will be unlawful to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is coming a day, my brother and my sister, that we will have to stand before the courts. We will have to stand before the Supreme Court and the judges. See, everybody's happy. Well, you know, we got the president we wanted. Some would say, some would not say. That's irrelevant. But I just want to say, it doesn't matter, my friend, because the Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, it says, he turneth it whatsoever he will. And if God would allow his children of Israel to go through captivity and persecution in Babylon, and if God would allow the trail of blood and the Roman Colosseums filled as they tortured Christians, then what makes us think that God would not allow persecution to come to you and I? Oh, persecution's coming. But I just want to help you with this prison procedure. Number two, would you notice the foundations of the prison? The foundations of the prison. Acts 16, verses 25 through 26. Would you see it there? Verse number 25. The Bible says, and at what church? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. First of all, I want you to notice that this is a midnight hour. You see it? And at midnight, you say, why did this happen at midnight? Well, the Bible says they fast them in those stocks. Now, these are stocks, perhaps a wooden board where they would put one leg right here and one at the other, and they would stretch them out in excruciating pain. And they had them by their hands and they had them by their feet, and so they were not able to sleep. That's why at midnight, after all the blood, remember they were beaten, they were scourged, everybody saw the persecution, they were unlawfully thrown into jail and into the inner prison, perhaps the worst place of confinement in those days, and they're being stretched out now at an excruciating pain, the Bible says, at midnight. Woo! Have you ever had, my brother, my sister, a midnight hour? Has there ever been a time that just seems like you've been stretched out and you cannot endure anymore? Has there ever been a time when your pillow has soaked the tears that have fallen down from your cheeks? Has there ever been a time when you heard a word from a doctor that you did not want to hear? Has there ever been a time when a wayward child has broke your heart? Has there ever been a time when you've had marital problems? Has there ever been a time, my friend, when you had to deal with illness you did not want to deal with? Has there ever been a time that you could not sleep because of the pain and because of the anguish, because of the anxiety at the midnight hour? Can I tell you, we will all have a time of the midnight hour, brother and sister. I haven't had one yet, preacher. Well, if you live long enough, I can guarantee you'll have a midnight hour. Oh, yes. What did these men do? You would think, now, Miss Julie, this is what I would have done. I would have cried. I would have been pouting. I probably would bring God into question. I want to be transparent with you, church. I probably doubt God. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? Why? Try to live for you, God. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'll give God all these reasons as to why he should bless me, as to why he should take it easy on me. Notice, first of all, that these men, they prayed. Do you see prayer there? Look what the Bible says in verse 25. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas did what, church? They prayed. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, circle that, please. They prayed. They prayed. They were in tremendous pain. They could not sleep. Paul and Silas said, we're about to call on God right now because we need him. We don't understand what's going on. We cast out the spirit of divination. We've done that which was right in God's eyes. Isn't that what God told us to do? He told us to live according to his word. Didn't he tell us to be responsible Christians? Didn't he tell us to live according to the Bible? Hey, Paul and Silas, that's exactly what you did. And I'll tell you what it got you. It got you thrown into prison. And now you're fasted by these chains and by these stocks and they're stretching you in immense pain. Hey, what are you going to do about God now, Paul and Silas? Here is their response. They began to pray. Woo, they began to pray. If you're quick with the scriptures, go to Jeremiah 33. We often quote Jeremiah 33:3, but we don't see verses 1 and 2. Go to Jeremiah chapter 33 and look at verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah chapter number 33 in verses 1, 2, and 3, please. Now look at what the scripture says here, church. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. Let's read it together. You got it? Still finding it? Jeremiah 33? Jeremiah 33? Jeremiah 33, in verse number 1, the Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time. Now notice what the scripture says. While he was yet shut up in the court of the what? You see that? He was shut up in the court of the prison. What did God tell Jeremiah? Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. The Lord wanted Jeremiah to know, I made you, Jeremiah. You're the weeping prophet. I made you. You're in the right spot. I'm glad you're preaching in this age, in the captivity, in Babylon, trying to see the children of Israel set free from bondage. I'm the maker of you, Jeremiah. The Lord, what did he say? That formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Now here is what God gives Jeremiah to do. Look at verse number 3. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isn't that beautiful? God says, wow, you're shut up in this prison. It's not your fault, Jeremiah. These are some circumstances that I am allowing. But Jeremiah, here is the instruction that I have for you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. What a tremendous instruction followed by a tremendous promise. He said, call unto me. Call unto me, Jeremiah, because I formed you, because I made you, because I am your God. Jeremiah, call unto me. And here is the promise, and I will answer thee. Whoa, what a tremendous promise out of the word of God. And he said, I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah, you have no idea what's going on right here, son. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jeremiah, if you call on me, I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. Oh, some of us in the prison this morning, I didn't deserve this preacher. I'm not arguing whether you deserve it or not, but I just want to tell you, brother and sister, while you're in that confinement, in that solitary place, perhaps you have been deserted. Perhaps you have been betrayed. Perhaps no one feels like you feel. I just want to say that as you're bound by those stocks and by those chains, hey, why don't you get a hold of God and pray unto God Almighty? Because God still answers prayer. Yes, he does, church. It's not something that we do to soothe our conscience. It's not something that we do to check off on our religious list of commitment. No, my friend, it is communication from my open heart to an almighty God, a God that listens, a God who is there to meet our needs, a God who is there to walk with us, to love us, to put his arms around us. But so often, we neglect this privilege of prayer. Can I ask you, before you complained about it, did you pray about it? Before you picked up the phone, did you drop to your knees and pray to God about it? Before you brought God into question, have you prayed about it? If you're like me, prayer is often the last resort when it should be the first response. Pray. Paul and Silas prayed. Look at letter B. Not only did they pray, but they praised. You see it? Verse 25. Then Paul and Silas prayed. And what did they do? Verse 25, Acts 16. And sang praises unto God. This is amazing. What a beautiful picture here. First they prayed. And then they sang praises to God. They probably sung some hymns, Brother Scott. Some of the Psalms, I don't know. But they praised God. What a tremendous joy. Would you turn to Psalm 100? I like what it says. You probably can quote it. But Psalm 100. He's worthy of our praise, church. Oh, if we don't praise him, he says, I'll pick up these rocks. I'll make these rocks cry out and praise me. Oh, yes. If we don't praise him, then we'll be outdone by some of the birds that sing in the morning. Those birds get annoying to me, but they're not singing for me. They're singing for Jesus, all right? Get a BB gun to shoot some of those birds in the morning. But I'm sorry, all you animal activists in here this morning. But oh, we got to praise him, friend. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Watch this. Come before his presence with what, church? With singing. That's the way he wants you to be ushered into his presence, with singing. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and we are not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Look at verse number 4. Let's read it nice and loud. Ready, begin? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Oh, church, we ought to praise the Lord this morning because his truth endureth to all generations. I praise him this morning because he's dealt bountifully with me. I praise him this morning because though I've been young and now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And those of you saints of God who've been saved for quite a while, I would want you to desire this morning to lift up your voice, throw your hands up, clap them and say, praise God, shout out to God. Oh yes, because the Lord is great. He is our high tower. He is our buckler. He is my shield. He is my sword. He is my lily in the lowest valley. He's the rose on top of my highest mountain. He's my best friend. He's the way, the truth, the life. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. I'm telling you, he's all-knowing. He's an all-powerful God. And those are the reasons why I show up this morning to praise the name of Jesus, my friend. Oh, there's a lot of reasons to praise God. When upon life billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. What does the songwriter said? Count your many blessings. Time will go by. It will surprise you what the Lord had done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. It was the last time you said, I'm going to do a family project. I'm going to take out a piece of paper this morning or tonight, and I'm going to begin to list all the blessings that God has done for me this week. Not your whole life. This week. Oh, there's so many things that God has done for me already this morning. You see, Sunday just begun. It's a brand new week. But God has already done so much for me, even this morning. If we're not careful, church, the blessings of God can pass us by. I mean, just passing by like birds in the air, and we have no recognition of them whatsoever. Why don't we stop today and say, I'm not going to let the Muslims outdo me and say that Allah is a true God. I'm not going to allow the Mormons to outdo me and say that Joseph Smith is a good God. I'm going to rise up today and say, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, yes. I praise God today, friend. Not only do you see prayer and praise, but you see pulsation. Is that a good word, Brother Scott? You're a linguist. Look at what the Bible says right there. Verse 26. Verse 26. You know what happened. Read it nice and loud with me, please. Verse 26. Ready? Begin. And suddenly there was a what? Now, we're from California. Okay, you got to know something about me. I am scared of dogs, right? Can I just tell you, most black people are scared of dogs, okay? And then, right, Brother Archie? Whatever. I'm scared of dogs. And then number two, scared of earthquakes. Ask my wife. I'm scared of earthquakes. The other day, somebody shut the fridge, and I stopped, dropped, and rolled. I was like, whoa, what's going on? But Stephen terrified of earthquakes. The Bible says there was a great earthquake. What happened? So that the foundations of the what? Of the prison were what? Oh, I love that. And immediately all the doors were what? Open, and everyone's bands were loose. You see, this affected everybody. You see that? You see that in the scripture? This affected everybody. Now, you would think that it would only affect Paul and Silas because they were thrown in unlawfully. But all the rest of the prisoners, their doors were flung open. Their chains were broken. Their stocks were broken. Everybody was affected by the prayer and praise of these men of God. Can I say this? Prayer and praise moves the heart and hand of God. Prayer combined with praise moves the heart and hand of God. Would you take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 27, and I want you to see another time when the earth did quake. I want you to see a time, and the Lord brought this to me, and this is amazing. I love this. Matthew 27, and look at verses 50 through 54. Prayer and praise moves the heart and hand of God. Matthew 27, verses 50 to 54. Matthew 27, the Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51, and behold, listen to this, church, look at it. And behold, the veil of the temple was what? Rent in twain from the top all the way to the bottom. And watch what happened. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, in verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, and here's what they praised God. They said, truly, this was the Son of God. You see, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He prayed, didn't he, Brother Scott? And at the end, they looked at him and they said, whoa, this truly is the Son of God. And you say, why is this important? Because Jesus died on the cross and the temple veil was rent in two, giving us access into the throne room. Now I can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need, and God will not condemn me. God will not stiff-arm me, but God will give me grace that abound towards me, that I would always have all my needs met, all sufficiency in all things. And God says, you can come in. You don't have to go through a pastor. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a government. You don't have to go through anybody. Right now, the throne room is open with free access to all of us, my brothers. We can go directly to him. I find another portion of scripture. I like it. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I know you know it. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 31. We're talking about praying. We're talking about praising. But look at what the Bible says in Acts 4, 31. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 31. This is shortly after the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse number 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know what we need more than anything in our church? You say it'd be good for us to have a sign out by the gym. It'd be good for us to remodel that administration building. Oh, this is what this church needs. It'd be good if we had more programs, Brother Ryan, for the young people. It'd be good if we had more potlucks for the Spanish. I like potlucks, praise the Lord. But it'd be good if we had this and if we had that. Can I tell you, my brother, my sister, the number one thing that our church needs today, we need to have an old-fashioned revival of prayer meetings in our church that we can get a hold of God and begin to pray for the sick, begin to pray for the weary, begin to pray for the backslider, begin to pray for strength and wisdom as we lead our churches and lead our families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, church. And if we pray, God will begin to shake some things up in this place. I'm talking about marriages this morning. Need to be shaken up a little bit for the glory of God. I'm talking about teenagers this morning. Need to be shaken for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about young adults who need to be shaken for the glory of God. I'm talking about some of us that are addicted to all kinds of sin. We need to be shaken for the glory of God. What does this happen? How can this happen? Through prayer and through praise, we get a hold of the throne of God. And God says, I'll shake some things up in your life. Oh, yes. God can shake some things up. Yes, he can. God can send that earthquake at the appointed time. Only God can do this. Could you imagine if God sparked revival in our church? We may be in the midst of revival, I don't know. But we all need a renewal of obedience to God every day, do we not? Oh, yes, I'm fleshly. Woo! I'm so sinful, I wish I wasn't. But I'm thankful that the Lord be high, yet that the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. What is man that thou art mindful of him, God, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Oh, God, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them, if I should count them, he said, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Why would God want to meet with me? Why would God want to meet with you? Why would God want to govern in our affairs? We are nobody. We are nothing. But thank God, because of the salvation that's been wrought through Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne room today. Thank God for the access to the throne room. I'll end on point number three. Here it is. The formation of persecution. We've seen the, what's number two? I forgot it. Well, you got it up there, brother? Foundations of the prison. And I want you to see number three, the faith of the Philippian. Look at verse number 27, please. Acts 16, verse number 27. Now, all that was introduction. The message is like 5 minutes. I know you. You want to get to Cracker Barrel. Oh, wait, no, that's in Indiana. They don't have Cracker Barrels around here. I want to get to Chick-fil-A, preacher. Can you be quiet? Shut up already. Don't say that word. I'm sorry about that. Don't say that. The faith of the Philippians. Look at verse number 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. He would have died anyways had the prisoners fled. Supposed to die. You're a Roman. You let the prisoners flee, cost you your life. He was going to kill himself in an honorable death. What the Bible says in verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Hallelujah. Look at verse 29. I like this portion of scripture. He says, then he called for a light. And sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You see that change of heart? Here's this guy that threw him into prison, locked them up with stocks and chains and now he comes before them and he falls down. He's got a different posture now, doesn't he? Look what the Bible says. Verse 30, let's read this verse together. Ready, begin. And brought them out and said, "Woo, man, I believe that this is the climax of the story. I believe this is part of that Macedonian call. I believe this is why the Spirit led Paul to Philippi. Because he knew And God knew that there would be a woman, Lydia, who would need the Lord Jesus Christ. God knew that there would be a damsel that would be enslaved because of prostituting for these guys reading palms. And God knew that there would be a Philippian jailer who would need salvation. And here's this man. He says, what must I do to be saved? I see preaching right here. Oh, yeah. God shakes some things up to get some preaching involved somewhere. I thank God that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Yet it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Oh, yes. Paul said unto Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, rebuke, reproof, with all long suffering, because it's going to come a time when they'll heap to themselves, having itching ears, and want to hear fables by old wives' tales. Oh, but you endure hardness, endure affliction as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the preaching of God's eternal word. And here this man says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, look at the question. There's an action verb in there. He didn't get it yet, Brother Tom. Woo-wee. You see it? He said, what must I do? Y'all all right with that? What must I do? Mrs. Walsh, he didn't understand yet that he didn't need to do anything. Jesus already did it all. Believe. You see it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying, thou shalt be saved and thine house. And he spake unto them the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Thank God that when we got saved, we didn't have to do a thing, my brother. Thank God that I didn't have to clean my life up. I didn't have to try to get right. Thank God that I came to Jesus and he made me right. And he cleaned me, and he put my feet upon a solid rock, and put a song in my heart, and praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Thank God we didn't have to do a thing to get saved, because Jesus did it all on the cross, my friend. Thank God Jesus did it all. I didn't have to do anything. We see preaching. We see profession. Look at the verse number 33. And he took them the same hour of the night. Look at it. The same hour of the night. And washed their what? Stripes. And what happened? He was baptized. He and all his straightway. Now, and when he had brought them into his house, look what happened. He set what before them? Meat. You see that? That's a Christian thing. Praise the Lord. Meat. Not tofu. Meat. Brother Andrew, I'm just kidding, Brother Andrew. I know you like tofu, okay? I'm just joking. If you have a tofu turkey, then you are part of that godly people that live in Christ Jesus. You're suffering persecution, okay? How can a man that was a jailer, hard, be transformed in an instant? Because he believed in Jesus Christ, and his house was saved. Brother Zach, he took those boys out of prison, and he washed their stripes. Could you imagine? The jailer was probably weeping. I can't believe you were beaten. I can't believe I was responsible for throwing you into these stocks. Please forgive me. Someone got saved. Salvation. God will take your trial, Christian, and when you go through tough times in those prisons that you didn't deserve or you didn't want to be in, and he will elevate you. He'll put you on a pedestal. He'll say, here it is, child. I'll be giving people in your family an opportunity to see how you respond to the trial. I'm letting your neighbors see how you live, if your God is really the God that you say that he is. The prisoners, all of them heard him. Woo, man, they heard him. They heard him singing. They heard him praying. Come in running. You guys didn't leave? Why? Because that Macedonian call I got that night. This was God's divine appointment. Sirs, falls down to his knees, trembling. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I don't have time to finish this. Listen, friend. You must understand that there's going to come times when God will squeeze at us. I don't like that, God. Neither do I. Don't like it. That refiner's fire is going to come on your life. You know why? Because if you're like me, sometimes you let pride get the best of you. If you're like me, sometimes you let materialism get the best of you. Sometimes you let comfort get the best of you. Right, brothers and sisters? Am I telling the truth this morning? And God has sent a refiner's fire. I'm allowing this to happen, son. Job, how you feeling, Job? The Lord gave. He didn't say Satan had taken away. He didn't credit that to Satan. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. But here is his response, church, and I end with this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand this morning, church. Thank you for listening well. With every head bowed and pleased with every head bowed and pleased with every eye closed. I don't know if there would be somebody here, but if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the best thing that you could ever do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. All you have to do is believe. Believe, believe, believe in Jesus. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You never will. Jesus took care of it all. The check has been signed. All you have to do is believe. Cash it. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only thing you could do is die and go to a Christless eternity in hell forever. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for you. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise that's worth picking up today. Friend, don't leave this auditorium without Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want to embarrass you. If you'll simply raise your hand and say, I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, we have some of the assistant pastors in the front that will come right to you. Is there anybody who'd say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I want to know? Please, in humility and honesty, would you please raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Say, pray for me because I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. Is there anybody like that? Anybody honest enough with the Lord to say, I don't know Jesus? Well, Christian, perhaps you find yourself in a tough spot. We're all going to have to suffer persecution from time to time. But when we're thrust into that inner prison, let's pray. Let's praise God. And then we'll see God shake some things up. And as a result, God may bring about some production, some salvation of some lost soul. Somebody's watching you. As the piano begins to play, the invitation's open. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, the altar is open, or you may take a knee right there where you're at. But praise the Lord this morning with me, church. See, worshiping God is more than just a song sometimes. Worshiping God may require a son. True worship requires sacrifice. Praise to God requires sacrifice. The sweetest savor that God ever smelt was that sacrifice of the Lamb of God when he died for us on the cross. Thank God for his sacrifice. You may have to sacrifice, Christian, but oh, it may bring praise to an almighty God. Dear Father, thank you for the privilege you give us, Lord, to hear the word of God this morning. Thank you, God, for speaking to my heart. I needed you this morning. I'll need you this afternoon. We always need you, God. Give us a heart of worship, a heart that sacrifices. When we are thrown into these prisons, unlawfully, may we remember the strategy of your men. God, please continue to shake things up here at Liberty Baptist Church. Please continue to save souls. Please continue to allow us to see the baptismal water stir. Please allow us to see your people rooted and grounded in your word. Please, God, save households. Transform lives, Father, by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ignite your church, God. May we be on fire for God. May we love one another, God, with a sincere and pure love, without the simulation, God, not two-faced, God, but a sincerity, God, that comes from you. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good to us, Father. Seal the decisions at this hour, please. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.